Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. Do you ever get door anxiety?
I don't know what that means.
You know when you go to someone's house?
Yeah.
And like, you know, so many people, their door has a knack to it. It's not just, you know, open, shut, or, you know, the ones that where you pull up, which is more common nowadays.
Mm.
They're like, oh, you got to jiggle it. Jiggle it a little to the left.
Oh,
Hold it up and then slam it shut.
Oh, I thought you meant like, if you go to someone's house and they ain't got a lock on the bathroom door and you're sat taking a shit.
No, that is another type of door anxiety. Absolutely.
Yeah. You sit having a shit with your feet against the door.
Yeah, no, that's no good either. I meant more so just the general thing of it's an easy task. You shouldn't be anxious about opening or closing a door.
No.
But when you're in someone else's house, and they're like, oh, you shut the door behind you. And you're like, I don't know if I can manage this.
Just listen to the instructions and...
I can't follow instructions. Oh. Someone will say to me, I'll panic about not being able to do it, that I can't even take in what they're saying to me. Do you get what I mean?
If it's like, so one of our doors,
yeah,
you have to like shoulder barge it a bit. You'll close the door,
yeah,
and you could easily just push it open.
Bathroom door.
But you just get a little shoulder barge and you'll hear it click, and that's
yeah, no, but that's
properly.
Our door.
Yeah, but
we're
what I'm
used
saying,
to it.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if someone came around to our house and I said to them, oh, when you close the door, just
yeah.
bump your shoulder on it as
yeah,
well.
But see, you're part of the problem. Do you know what I mean? Because you're that person who won't just get your fucking door fixed and you're expecting someone else.
I could fix it. But
we don't have people around really though, because we're very much like our home's very private.
Well,
if you get what I mean?
It's not just it's private. We're strategic with it. We have a 2-seater sofa.
Yeah.
We have 2 chairs at the dining table.
Yeah, lads, if you
and
ever
we have
come
a double bed.
Exactly, lads, if you ever come over, just know you're not welcome.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Like,
it's very, good point.
It's
the most antisocial household.
2-person sofa,
yeah.
2-person table, 2-person bed.
Yeah.
Even outdoor furniture, we have 2 chairs.
Yeah, that's actually fucking hilarious. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, we really don't want you around.
Yeah.
Mm. No, the door thing, it's something I always think about. And we were watching Come Dine With Me earlier. Oh, they're after you, Neil.
Mm.
We were watching Come Dine With Me earlier, and you know when they, you know, the person comes to the house and they're like, oh my God, you're here. And it's like, it's not surprising. You knew this was going to happen. There's a cameraman right behind you.
Mm.
But yeah, so she comes to the door, he answers the door, gives her a hug and a kiss, like, come on in. And he like pushes the door behind her, but then doesn't close it and leaves her to close it. And it, you know, popped into my head. First of all, like you're hosting a dinner party, close the door behind them.
Mm.
But also, I started getting, not anxious, but like, if I was in that situation, I'd be nervous. What if I don't close the door right? What if they've got a cat and I haven't closed the door right and the cat gets, you know what I mean?
Well, then you're a piece of shit.
This is what I'm saying, but the door anxiety is real.
Never
come into your mind?
No. And just going back to the siren, what just went off?
Yeah.
I fucking hope not, but that's coming for me because that was an ambulance.
Oh. I never even noticed the difference in sirens. I just
kind of hear
them when I'm like, oh, yeah,
yeah.
You're always like, oh,
yeah.
That's a 18650 model as well.
Yeah, no, I'm not like that. It's just, oh, that's fire brigade.
Yeah.
That's the popo.
Yeah. So the other thing to do with the door anxiety, it also extends to a social anxiety because I don't want to shut your door wrong or whatever, yeah? But I also don't want the person to feel like I expect them to open or close a door for me.
Well, do you know what you say?
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Cure for the anxiety.
Okay.
Right. Say you're around at someone's gaff, yeah?
Yeah.
And they say to you, oh, when you close that door, just like jimmy the handle a bit
yeah,
and kick the bottom of the door.
Yeah, this is a lot.
Just turn around and go, no.
But
no. They're going to walk past you and close the door.
Yeah, but then you look like a right ignorant bastard. Do you know what I mean?
Well, then
like,
that's when you...
Because
they're
thinking, it's just a door, close the door. Why are you being like this?
I'm so happy, but you've done this in front of our listeners because the listeners hopefully will pick up on the fact, but I used our bathroom door as an example, yeah, and you said, yeah, but that's your problem, you should get it fixed.
Yeah.
But when it's someone else, it's, oh, well, I don't want to look like an ignorant piece of shit and make them think they have to close. No, you'd say to, get your fucking door fixed. I'm not fucking about. No, but I wouldn't.
I'm in their home. But do you get what I mean?
I can't win. I don't know.
Maybe that's true, but I still feel the same way. Have you never had like door anxiety?
No.
I'm coining that term. I've never heard someone else use it.
The only thing, like, I might, if they've said, oh, just be careful of that door, it's a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
I just pull on the handle and see if it opens. If it doesn't, I walk away.
So door anxiety is just me being a anxious, neurotic mess.
That's not just doors, that's you with everything. You walk up to walls and start stroking them.
I don't stroke walls. Maybe I should get some help.
I've been saying this.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lads, let me know if you also have door anxiety. I think it's a thing. I bet there's some people out there who have door anxiety.
I bet no one comments. Oh, yeah, I know exactly what she means.
I'll put money on it, they do. Bet you a fiver.
Right. Okay, I'll make it better. I bet you 50. I bet you 50 quid that more people comment going, I agree with Neil. Just said no. You close it.
Do you know why I'm
You
also...
close your fuck door.
Do you know why I'm confident as well that someone's going to agree? Because although you didn't understand what I was getting at first, but you gave a spin-off of door anxiety with the bathroom door.
Yeah.
You gave it like a subset of the door anxiety.
That's not me agreeing with it.
No, but what I'm saying to you is you could still further this on another point, another type of door anxiety.
No, yeah, but like I'm saying, it's not anxiety. I don't know where your anxiety comes from it. If someone says,
okay, door worry.
You have to tap the top of the door 3 times, kick the bottom, and then shoulder barge it.
Yeah.
You just go, no, get fucked. Like, who the fuck do you think I am? You didn't even say Simon Says.
Would you do it if it was your way of making sure that you could have a shit in peace?
Well, no, like I said, you sit on the toilet and you put your feet against the door.
No, if they said you have to do all that for the door to lock, would you do it?
No, I'd put my feet against the door.
Okay.
Even if I did all that, I'd put my feet against the door.
Yeah. Just for that extra security.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you where you would have a bit of door anxiety. America with their bathroom stalls with the big gaps in them.
Yeah, I'd shit in the woods.
I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I'd shit in the woods.
Yeah. What's that about America? Why do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know what... Is it a fire thing?
I don't know, because like over here, you know, we have doors that are functional.
Yeah, it's a piece of wood with two hinges on it.
Apparently not all doors, because I have anxiety over doors. But in bathroom stalls, they tend to be an actual door to cover the shitation of the situation.
Their door is a suggestion of a door.
A whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think what the reason is. Like, if you have like a standard door, you know, because I have to do it in work loads of times, you can just unlock it. You can get something to go into the mechanism and just flip it open. So if there is ever a concern or worry that someone's in there and you need to get them out, you can easily do that.
Right. I know you shouldn't like read into it too much when you're seeing something on a film.
Yeah.
But why on American horror films, if say a victim's ran into the toilets and hid in a stall, why does the serial killer go into the toilets and look under the door when they can just look through the crack?
They can just stand straight up. They don't have to put any stress on their knees. Just look straight in the gap. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah.
That's a good point.
But just to make it more theatrical.
What if it's not that common? What if there's like one brand of toilet stall manufacturer that make them like that? It's the cheaper one.
Yeah.
What if there's plenty of places in America that actually allow you to shit in peace?
Yeah.
We could be reading into it way too much. But I've heard people who've gone to America and said that.
Yeah.
They've gone over to the States. You know, specifically the States. I haven't heard about anywhere else in America. It's always the States. And they've said, yeah, no, the bathroom stalls are a concern. Mm. Can't shit in peace.
Because I know for a fact, if I were over there and I was sat on the toilet, I'd just stare ferociously at the crack. So if anyone walked past and made eye contact with me, oh, you're holding that gaze.
Yeah.
You're holding that. That's it now.
No, we're in it now. Yeah. We're practically in a relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
coming to Christmas dinner.
In fact, I would tell them, you've seen more
than
my partner of 10 years.
Yeah, no, we I don't do that whole bathroom thing.
Yeah, there was.
I need my privacy. That's Megan time.
Yeah, there was actually a funny story. It wasn't funny for Megan. I woke up in the bed alone.
Yeah, and you thought that would have been his first clue.
And I was no, because I was laid there for ages, just watching Instagram reels or something. And I was like, oh, need a slash. So I got up, and I didn't. Did I like look to see if your shoes were gone, or I can't remember, but I looked around and I thought, oh no, she's gone down to her parents or something. I opened the bathroom door and she just darted forward, went, what the fuck do you think you're doing? And I was like, I didn't know. You, why didn't you knock? Because I didn't know you were in there.
But obviously I was in there. You're saying, oh, it was ages. It wasn't ages. I hadn't been up that long. I might have brought Norman out, came back in, which if that was the case that you were awake, you would have heard the door opening and closing.
Oh, no,
and I went to the bathroom.
This was before Norman.
Couldn't even diddle in peace. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm very respectful of you and your diddling.
You have a shout out, don't you?
Just me.
Yeah.
Just me was a shout out. Yeah. Yeah. No, we do indeed. We have a shout out from a Buy Me a Coffee.
Okay.
Don't act surprised. You know we have. As much as you're saying it's my shout out, you know we have a shout out.
I just want you to do it all.
Okay. Yeah, so like I said, it's Buy Me a Coffee and it's from Martin. Martin bought us 4 coffees. Now I say us, we only get 2. Well, 1 each, should I say. The other 2 are for the lads. Norman and Ty.
So he wants me to get Ty a black coffee because he's lactose intolerant.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that. A little bit of cream would be all right. Just a little bit.
Hmm.
No, Martin said, keep up the good work, you 4. And he said, I'm counting Norman and Ty. So he's making sure that we're not diddling them out of anything.
But what good work? What good work do they need to keep up?
What do you mean? They're the mascots. They're the face of this production.
Is that so?
Not really, no. We should include them more. I mean, if you're over on Patreon, you might hear them every once in a while. We tend to have them in the room.
Yeah.
If we're recording some bonus content.
Mm.
You know, Norman and Ty quite often have something to say.
Yeah.
No, but thank you, Martin. We appreciate you. That was lovely of you. Martin's actually our admin for our Facebook group.
And Patreon.
And Patreon. He's also a good kind of sounding board. More specifically for Neil, if he has a meme that he's not sure whether he should upload.
Yes.
Martin's on it.
Yeah,
he'll tell you straight whether, you know, you're going to get cancelled or not.
Yeah, so I'll get a meme and it's dark humour, you know, so I'm like, I think this is okay to go in the group. I know not to ask Megan because she's too strict. She's too fucking PC with the group. So I'll ask Martin. And yeah, more often than not, he's like, yeah, Megan's right, do not post that.
But the thing is, Martin's perfect because he's aware, do you know what I mean? But he's got a great fucking sense of humour.
Yeah.
So we lucked out with him. But yeah, thank you, Martin. We appreciate you.
Hey, true crime listeners, check out our podcast, I Said Goddamn. We're a true crime comedy podcast hosted by 2 besties who like to share messed up cases that make you say goddamn. Every Sunday, we try to one-up each other's story by sharing a horrific case the other has never heard of. Along the way, we splash in some wildly inappropriate jokes and colorful language. Listen every Sunday from any of your favorite podcast directories. Also, follow us on Twitter at ISGDPodcast or visit our website, ISGDPodcast.com.
So, what you got for us today?
Today, we are going to be talking about Natasha Ryan.
Okay.
Do you like the name Natasha?
Not really.
No, I am particularly fond of it.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just, you know, I like...
It's not up there for you.
A lot of the names I like, female names, begin with M. Megan, Morgan, Mia. So Natasha doesn't...
It's only one off, you know. N's pretty close to M.
Yeah, but So when I was younger, I was like, I can't be with someone, like, you can't have Neil and Natasha. I hate that,
shit. That sounds good.
No, I hate that shit.
Neil, maybe you should actually find someone called Natasha. I think it suits better than Megan, you know? Actually, I love that for you, you know?
Well, I was with someone called Natalie.
No. No, Natasha sounds better. No.
I was.
No, I'm saying I think Natasha sounds better with Neil. Natasha and Neil. Neil and Natasha. Yeah, I like that.
Oh.
Love that for you.
Okay, well, I'll start looking.
Your next missus. I'm not saying, like, go off with Natasha now, but, you know, I suppose put the feelers out.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll bear it in mind.
Yeah. Anyway, Natasha Ryan we're talking about.
Okay.
Natasha Ann Ryan was born on the 9th of May 1984 in Rockhampton, Queensland, Australia.
Australia again?
Yeah, I know.
Right, sorry.
I didn't mean to specifically go back to Australia. I feel like Australia keeps coming up for us. It's become a bit of a Richard Chase situation.
Yeah.
Do you not feel like Australia seems to come up a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Sorry, the reason why I stopped you.
Mm-hmm.
So you said at the start, today we are talking about Natasha Ryan.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
I did say that, yes.
But then you said about where they were born, you said Natasha and Ryan.
Natasha and Ryan.
Oh, that's confusing.
I
bet she had to explain that a lot.
Do you think?
If someone said, what's your name? Natasha and Ryan. And they'd be like, and Ryan.
But there's no D. You're adding that in.
No, but they'd hear it.
Would they?
Way I heard it.
Natasha and
right,
Ryan.
Again, I bet you another... this is costing me a fortune. I bet you another 50 quid. So, but there's listeners who comment going, I thought she said Natasha and Ryan.
I like that you said this is costing me a fortune. You automatically assume you're going to lose the bet.
Because that's what our listeners are like. Even if they did hear it the same way I heard it,
yeah,
they wouldn't say a shit. They'd be like, well, he's got to pay out 50 quid.
Yeah. Fair point.
Bastards.
Now, Rockhampton, or Rocky, where Natasha was from, is a small town known as Australia's beef capital.
Ooh.
And every 3 years it holds Australia's largest beef expo, Beef Australia.
I would love to go to that.
Yeah. I thought
I've just bought some new rubs.
Yeah. Do you know what's so funny? That has no bearing on the story whatsoever. I've literally just included it for your reaction.
I knew you'd
enjoy it.
Can I just explain to the listeners, because I just heard that the way they're going to hear it. I said rubs and then went,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Right. Rubs.
He also touched his leg when he said it.
No, I did not.
No, he didn't know.
Rubs are seasoning tubs. Like,
they know what a rub is. You're talking about beef.
Yeah. I didn't want them to think I were having a fucking...
No, they're going to understand you're talking about seasoning for meat and not molestation.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're good there.
Okay. It's just because I said rub and then...
Yeah, you did. No, but like I said, it hasn't actually got anything to do with the story. I just mentioned it for your reaction, which is actually hilarious because you just got a delivery today, like you said, of the rubs.
Yeah. Canadian ones.
Yeah, I didn't bring it up just for the joy of saying beef 500 times or because we're sponsored by Big Beef.
Oh, actually, no, they're not. No, sorry, they're not Canadian. They're Scottish.
Angus and Oink.
Angus and Oink.
Not
so
sponsored.
If they're wanting affiliation,
yeah,
I'm game.
Yeah.
I don't know how many different seasonings they have, but I will take all of them.
Yeah. Well, do you know, next year, the expo's actually on. So, do you want to go to Beef 2027? That is genuinely how it's referred to, by the way.
Beef.
And then Beef, and then whatever year it is. Yeah, Beef 2027.
I love Australians.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? Anyway, enough about Beef. Back to Natasha.
Mm.
When Natasha was a toddler, her father nicknamed her Grasshopper. This was because instead of crawling, her father said that she sort of hopped from one spot to another. What are you laughing at? What's so funny about that? It's just a nickname her father gave her, Neil.
No.
I don't know why you're trying to diminish this moment in their lives.
There is no way before she could walk that she was hopping about.
I think it was more springing. I am guessing that's how it kind of... Like when I was an infant, yeah, I didn't crawl. My mum said that I just kind of went straight to shuffling my arse across the floor.
I did that to go downstairs.
No, I just did it generally. She always said it was because it was a nosy bastard.
Like a dog dragging its ass.
Basically, like I just kind of like put my arse, plant my arse on the floor and like use my legs to like move myself forward. And she always said it's because I was a nosy fuck who didn't want to miss anything. My face, like I was always like up facing the conversation, what was going on.
I was actually told opposite to that. If I was laid on my back and I rolled over onto my front, I wouldn't cry or anything. I'd just lay there with my face in the carpet. They'd be like, he's rolled over again. And they'd have to get up.
He's drowning in the carpet quick. I believe that. Do you know? What do you call them? Armbands on you. You know, the water wing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put...
What, so I just bounced?
Again, save you from drowning in the carpet. We keep getting very off topic here.
Yeah.
But again, back to Natasha. Her parents' marriage ended in divorce. Her father, Robert, he remarried and moved away, and Natasha remained living with her mother, Jenny. Natasha was described as free-spirited and somewhat rebellious. And I'm not keen on the term, but some described her as troubled. But the reality seemed to be that Natasha was struggling to cope. She felt overwhelmed by school, her parents' divorce had hit her hard, and just life in general was getting on top of her.
I've got a cure for that. Don't care about school as much.
I've just spoke extensively about my door anxiety. It's easier said than done for some people.
You don't, like... Unless you're wanting to be a lawyer, a doctor...
Oh, yeah.
Or anything like that, do not worry about school. Like, take it from me, the successful man I am.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need grades. You don't need book smarts, really. You know?
Yeah.
You learn more out on the streets. And, right, it's a bit like with driving. So how my dad told me was, it doesn't matter how many driving lessons you do, and it doesn't matter if you pass your test. You start learning to drive once you've passed your test. Once you're out on that road on your own, that's when you start to learn how to drive. And it's so true. And it's the same with that. You do not learn work ethics at school. Once you leave school and you actually go to work, you start... Like, think of all the useless shit we learn at school. Algebra. When have you ever used algebra out of school?
Well, you know...
But then no one taught me how to do taxes. You know, you get what I mean? They could have made school more valuable, but they don't.
Well, I always say to you, you know, I'm a strong believer in education. I think it's very important, but that's not limited to what the curriculum is in, you know, primary, secondary, third level education. I mean that generally in life.
Mm.
And I remember having a discussion with my granddad a few years back. He was a lecturer at Trinity College. And we were talking about how a lot of people, and it seems more common now, a lot of people go to college and they learn something and they don't ever want to stray from it. There's no kind of critical thinking there.
Yeah.
They want to, and you know, and I've experienced that with some younger people I've worked with, that it's, I've taught this, so I do exactly that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no kind of outside the box at all. There's no leeway, nothing, which I find very concerning. And it's, there's no kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like freedom of thinking.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
You know, which I think it is a genuine concern.
Yeah. Yeah, what I've noticed with a lot of, you know, a lot of people we've worked with who they might have a degree, but they've got no common sense.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm talking about. They've got, it's like they don't have that thing about them to want to further their knowledge or their education.
Yeah.
It's, I'm going to go here, get the education, that's me done.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's more to fucking life than that.
I'll do this because the textbook said it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, again, back to Natasha.
Yeah.
As a result of the difficulties that she was facing and, you know, struggling to cope, Natasha had run away from home multiple times.
Yeah, I was sorry to interrupt with that one. It's just, it really bothers me when I hear about, you know, someone's depressed because they're struggling at school. And it's like, it really isn't that fucking important.
I think it's more of a case of struggling to cope rather than she was worried about her grades.
Yeah, but it's cope with the grades.
No. I think it's much more to do with anxiety or depression that she was, you know, and school just was not helping it.
Mm.
On the 31st of August, 1998, Natasha's mother drops her off at Rockhampton State High School. Before getting out of the car, Natasha leans over, kisses her mother, and tells her that she loves her before heading into the school. But Natasha didn't attend any classes that day, and when she doesn't reappear later in the day, her mother reports her missing. So, like we just mentioned, Natasha had run away before. In July of 1998, Natasha had run away with her boyfriend, but she was found 2 days later at a music venue. But because she had done so with her boyfriend, Scott Black, he was brought before the court in November of 1999, and he pleaded guilty to willful obstruction for not informing the police of her whereabouts. And because Natasha had run away before, police didn't initially think there was too much reason to be concerned. But as days turned to weeks, and weeks turned to months, clearly something was wrong. I also find that odd. You know, it's this idea, it seems, that because they've chosen to run away, it's not that big of a deal. You know, because they hadn't been kidnapped. But Natasha was 14 at the time of her disappearance. God knows what could happen to a 14-year-old child.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they've initially chosen. I don't think the fact they've initially, you know, run off themselves of their own free will diminishes the possibility of something sinister happening down the line.
And how old is Scott?
Scott is a few years older. We'll get to that.
That's what I was about to say, because you said he was charged.
Scott is a young adult, I will say.
It's no good.
It's fucking not. Now, around this time in the Rockhampton area, there had been women and girls who had gone missing. And these cases were later linked to a serial killer named Leonard John Fraser, also known as the Rockhampton Rapist. If you hadn't guessed from his very flattering nickname, Leonard was a massive
burglar.
Bollocks.
Burglar.
I was going for just the more general, he's a bollocks. You know, rapists tend to be a bit of a bollocks.
Mm. Not burglar. Well, they could burgle at the same time.
They could.
Yeah.
Among his many suspected crimes, Leonard was convicted for the murders of 39-year-old Julie Turner, 37-year-old Beverly Lego, 19-year-old Sylvia Benedetti, and 9-year-old Kira Steinhardt. But before his conviction, people in the area were, of course, fearful of this predator roaming the streets. A local of Rockhampton said, quote, "We don't wake up to the sound of sirens and cars and things. We wake up to the sound of kookaburra and kangaroos grazing on the front lawn."
The fuck's a kookaburra?
A bird.
Kookaburra.
Kookaburra, I believe it's pronounced, yes. I can't tell you much more other than the fact that it's a bird.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's a very distinct call.
Okay.
Yeah. You know Australia.
See, we all that. Yeah. We wake up to pigeons. Oh no, I get woke up with seagulls as well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking nightmare.
They're noisy.
Yeah. They scream at the top of their lungs, like.
Mm. But fucking Australia's wildlife is just out of control. They need to sort it out. Like,
out of control. Like,
a fucking kangaroo? What?
Yeah. Well, you know my feelings on kangaroos.
Yeah. Well, I still feel like I could knock one out.
Yeah.
And then they can't just have spiders. They have to be the size of my face. Could kill me. The snakes, don't get me started.
Yeah, see, yeah, obviously I'd be wary around a snake if it's venomous and can hurt me.
Yeah.
You know, like the healthy fucking fear. Mm. But snakes don't bother me at all. Like, at all. You know, like, the way I am with spiders. There's a lot of people who have that same kind of feeling about snakes. It's the way they move. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not at all for me. It really don't bother me.
Like, the bit what I don't get, Australia. I'd love Australia to answer me to this. So, we very nearly almost made pandas extinct. If we can manage that, why can't we manage it with the spider, like, all that shit in Australia?
Why do you want them to be extinct?
Because they can kill you.
Lions can kill you.
Yeah, but you can reason with a lion. You can't with a spider.
Right. That's your logic.
Well, you can cuddle a lion.
So you're all right with a lion.
You can tame a lion. You cannot tame a spider.
Right.
You cannot tame a snake.
Yeah.
Same as a wasp.
So you're okay with an animal's existence as long as you can control them, is what you're saying to me.
Well,
yeah.
Why did you have to turn it like that?
I mean, that's essentially what you said. I just worded it more. I worded it to paint you in a worse light.
Hmm.
Yeah. With Leonard active around the time of Natasha's disappearance, police suspected that she may have been a victim of one of his crimes. And later, Leonard did confess to the murder of Natasha.
Yeah, but is he one of them who is just confessing to anything because he's like, I'm fucked anyway, so I want a bigger record?
I mean, it could have been, yeah. There's a hell of a lot of people, but I mean, Leonard's one of those that I think he's done a lot more than we know about.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, Leonard claimed that he had taken Natasha to an empty house between Rockhampton and the coast. On the property, he described a mango tree, and that is the location of where he had killed her, before burying her body on the grounds. He then drew up several maps which would lead police to Natasha's remains. And although police struggled to locate her remains, they did feel that they had a strong enough case against Leonard to get the conviction. With no body to bury, but a confession from Leonard, Natasha's family's hopes of ever having that final goodbye dwindled. And so, her family decided to hold a memorial service for her in 2001, on her 17th birthday.
Nah, I'm feeling Scott.
You think Scott?
Mm.
Mm.
Something in me bones saying Scott.
Well, Neil, as the trial for the murder of Natasha gets underway, a shocking discovery is made. It was on the 11th of April 2003, 12 days into the trial, that the prosecutor announced to the court, quote, Your Honour, I am pleased to inform the court that Leonard John Fraser is not guilty for the murder of Natasha Ann Ryan. Natasha Ryan is alive.
Oh.
Mm.
Sorry, Scott.
Yeah, well.
Oh, actually, no, not sorry, Scott. Young adult, we're 14. Fuck off.
Yeah. Bit of a flip-flop there on the emotions.
You fucking dirty bastard.
So the night before this announcement, a home in North Rockhampton was raided after police received a tip that Natasha was alive and within this home. The tip stated that, quote, Natasha Ryan is alive and well. It also included a phone number and house address. So what in the name of Jesus was going on?
Just ran away from home.
Well, Natasha had been living within this home with her boyfriend, Scott Black. The day that Natasha had disappeared, she had arranged to meet Scott outside the cinema. Now, something I didn't mention about Scott, but Neil kind of sussed it out. He sniffed it out.
Mm.
Because, again, he was brought before the court. Now, it could happen if you're
very
younger.
Rare.
But yeah. At the time of the disappearance, like I said, Natasha was 14 years old. Scott was 22.
Mm.
Mm. No good.
I know I might be in a minority with this, but even if a 22-year-old man, and that's what they are, 22-year-old man,
yeah,
is with an 18-year-old, I'll still be looking at him like, hmm.
I know what you mean, yeah. if they're 18, they're technically an adult. It's like you've probably gone for the youngest you possibly can.
That's what I know. I've said that before. You know, they could make the age of consent. They could raise it to 19.
Yeah, they'll go for the 19.
They'll go for as legally young as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but fuck you, Scott.
Then you get people like, you know, a celebrity very recently said, you know, they defended them being with a 16-year-old. It's like, it's legal where I'm from. And you're like...
He was in his 30s.
Yeah, 30 years old.
Yeah.
And his defense was, it's legal in the UK to sleep with a 16-year-old.
Yeah, I'm not a paedophile.
Yeah.
Because I did go with a 16-year-old.
Yeah. I made sure I was at the legal limit here, lads.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a fucking paedophile.
That's what he said.
Yeah. Jesus and all that.
That's also what he said.
He is. It's very...
Yeah. They tend to get like that.
Yeah.
Now, over the years, Natasha and Scott had lived in different areas of Queensland before moving back to Rockhampton 6 months before the discovery. The house where they were currently living was only a few kilometres from Natasha's mother's home. By the way, Scott was also a milkman, so I wonder what area he worked in and if her mother was on his round or not.
Mm.
That's pretty fucking twisted if that was the case.
The bit what's just popped into my head, the realisation.
Mm-hmm.
They had a funeral.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yep. For you to, you know, go through all that emotion, have to, you know, to be able to kind of let go and think, chances are we're probably not ever going to see her again.
Yeah. Fuck. Like, I don't know. You could be that checked out after all that time and you've done the funeral, you've done the grieving and everything. Could be like, well, no, we're done with you now.
Yeah.
Like, if that's the case, but she just ran away, the family could be like, no, we're not going through that again.
I mean, they could be angry that she's put them through it.
Yeah.
So during Natasha's time in hiding, she would walk around the home freely, but always made sure to have the curtains drawn. If Scott was to have guests over, Natasha would hide in the bedroom cupboard until they left.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Now, when she was getting interviewed, she kind of downplayed it a bit and said, well, I'd be in the bedroom. Do you know what I mean? Like, she tried to kind of lessen the blow. Now, what is true or not, I can't say myself.
Hmm.
But the cupboard that is mentioned was actually where police were said to have found her. And because of this, the media ran with it and Natasha became known as the girl in the cupboard.
Yeah, they like to do that, don't they?
They do a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
The only times that Natasha left the home was during darkness, and she recalled visiting the beach late into the night. Between these trips out and having moved homes, it was reported that Natasha had only gone outside 6 times during the nearly 5-year period that she spent hidden away.
Fucking hell. She needs that vitamin D.
That was something that, you know, kept getting mentioned about her. You know, her skin was white as snow and all this kind of carry on. It's like, all right, calm down. She was a bit pale, but she wasn't like fucking, do you know what I mean?
No, but for an Aussie.
Yeah, but there's a lot of Australians that are, you know, deliberately stay out of the sun because it is so intense.
Yeah, but they're not white. They're not like you.
Right.
You know, Aussies are more like me.
You're speaking so broadly for every Australian there is.
Sallow skinned. I don't think I've ever seen a pale Aussie. They're tanned. It's about 70 degrees over there.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to be in the house for 5 years.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well, to keep herself occupied during this time, Natasha began to learn German and taught herself how to cook and sew. What do you think you would do? If you were...
Not learn German.
Bear in mind, it's 2003 by the time she's finally re-emerged. So in terms of the internet, it's not doing much.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So if she's going on the internet to learn German, it's taking her a bit. I suppose she only got time.
What would I do? Well, with this going rate, learn Russian. You okay?
Yeah.
Or possibly Chinese. I've always been interested in learning it. I just couldn't be asked.
Yeah.
Because I think what I got told is, if you speak English, if you're English native and you learn to speak Chinese fluently, you can learn any language.
Yeah, it is meant to be difficult.
Yeah. What else? I already know how to sew. I split my trousers at work the other week. I had to stitch them up.
But you've learned to like do a basic stitch. You're not a fucking seamstress, like.
I've done patches on my airsoft shit.
Yeah, again, a basic stitch. I'm not trying to like fucking downplay it. Fair play to you for learning a new skill. But you think you're 10 men now. You've done that.
Yeah, I think I'm 10 men because I can sew.
Yeah.
What else? Possibly cooking.
Yeah.
I've got to try and think of indoorsy stuff. I'd probably learn how to use a washing machine.
What do you mean learn how to use a washing machine? That's, you're really letting people know what a sack of shit you are now.
Look.
Bear in mind, Scott is still living his life as normal. So if there's something you want, you can always ask Scotty to go out and pick it up for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fishing.
Fishing where?
Huh?
You're within the home. Fishing where?
Yeah.
He is limited what you can do.
We could have a pond and garden.
She didn't really leave the home ever.
No, but garden.
No, but people even said like this, they were very secretive. You know, they kept this
hidden.
Oh,
so she was always inside.
Yeah, like they said, even neighbors said they didn't suspect anything when they saw clothes on the line. They saw Scott's clothes. They didn't see Natasha's shit. There was no kind of like indicators.
Yeah, well, I think that'd take me long enough. Russian, Chinese,
sewing, cooking.
No, sewing, I know.
Oh, sorry, cooking and learn how to use a washing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, there is one. Sorry, I know this is taking long. The fitted sheet on a mattress.
Learn how to fold it.
Learn how to fold it neatly.
It's not that difficult. It's easier if you have like a flat surface to do it.
You can't do it.
I'm too lazy to do it. And I rarely have a fucking space to lay the sheet out flat.
Right.
Tuck the corners into it, into themselves, and it's a lot easier.
Right.
Yeah. Now, when it was announced that Natasha had been found, the prosecutor told her father, Robert, that he needed to contact the police and confirm that this person was actually who she was saying she was. He called the police station and asked the woman what was the nickname that he had given her as a child. Quote, I said to the voice on the other end of the phone, if you're my daughter, what would your dad call you? She replied, quote, Dad, it's me, Grasshopper, and I love you, and I'm sorry. Her dad, I'm sure, was experiencing a flood of emotions, and obviously he wanted answers. But instead of bombarding her with questions at that time, he simply said, quote, I love you and will try to sort through this. Now, her mother's initial reaction was that it was a false alarm. When she realized that what she was being told was true, she said, quote, I hated her. I could have grabbed her and just shook the hell out of her. But when I seen her, you forget all of that. At the moment, I don't trust her. She's got to regain that trust. As for forgiving her, probably could forgive, but never forget. People say time heals, but in this case, time never healed anything. The longer it got, the worse it got. Her mother also noted that she didn't realise how Natasha had been feeling in the lead up to her disappearance.
Yeah, like what I said before, that the parents could very easily have just gone, we're not going through that again. Like, the father could have been like, if I go through that again, it'll kill me. I'm not.
Yeah, so when you see the footage of, you know, Natasha and her mother talking, you know, they're kind of restarting their relationship.
Yeah.
From the time, you know, with nearly 5 years passed and Natasha only being 14 at the time of her disappearance, you're going to change, you're going to grow up a lot in that period. And Natasha had basically been living as almost like a housewife for this time. So she's there telling her mother, like, you know how to sew, I know how to cook, I know how to do all these things. And, you know, for her mother, it's obviously going to be like, Jesus, like, what can you really say to that?
Mm.
On the 30th of April, 2003, Natasha attended what had been the trial for her own murder. She told the court that she had never met Leonard and that she did not know the witness who had claimed to have seen Leonard with her before her disappearance. Now, this fucking witness.
Yeah, like, who's this prick?
This is what I mean. Did they just see someone who looked a bit like Natasha and run with it? Or were they just an out-and-out scumbag who made this shit up for the crack?
Attention-seeking, I think. It's just they saw the headline of this fucking serial killer and just ran with it.
Yeah.
Just for attention.
It's very, very...
I helped with the prosecution.
Yeah.
It's someone who ain't got a fucking life.
Well, the other thing is, Leonard and Scott don't look alike. They're different age groups. Scott is a more broad, kind of bigger build. Leonard, I believe, is more kind of just more wiry kind of look to him.
Hmm.
I don't, you know, it's not like at a quick glance.
Yeah, they
both have lighter hair, but different hair.
Yeah.
Different cut. It's kind of like you're not going to mistake Scott for Leonard.
Yeah. Oh, well, oh, yeah, because there could be some confusion. If they both had blonde hair and mullets are very popular.
No, but yeah, but they didn't, is what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
If I would see those two men from the back, even, or the side, I would never mistake one for the other.
Right.
But look, that's all to say, you know, at least we know that Leonard was not involved. We know where Natasha was and who she was with. Although, there's still consequences to what both Scott and Natasha had done.
Who was cutting her hair?
I assume she's cutting it herself.
Oh.
Maybe Scott did.
Oh, okay.
We've all been through it with the lockdowns. I gave you haircuts.
I didn't give you.
No, I just left my hair. Because yeah. I can just tie it up. It's easier to hide long hair if it needs cutting.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Lockdown haircuts.
Do you know what was weird about that? The first haircut I gave you was not half bad. It was actually, I was surprised. It was pretty good. It
took you about 2.5 hours.
No, it didn't. It wasn't bad.
Hmm.
The next two or three, however many I gave you, shocking.
I got three.
Could not do it. Like the first one, I actually did a fade. I was so proud of myself. And then the rest of them were like, what? I've lost it. You know?
Yeah.
My time in the sun is over.
Yeah, you'd lost the knack.
In 2005, Scott pleaded guilty to falsely testifying about the whereabouts of Natasha. He was found guilty of perjury and sentenced to 3 years with 2 of these years suspended.
What about the paedophilia?
Well, this is it. So Scott only served 1 year for hiding a child within his home and allowing everyone to believe that she was dead. The judge said, quote, "I regard the circumstances of this case, whilst unusual, are very serious. You allowed a man to stand trial for a murder that you knew with absolute certainty he didn't do."
Good point.
This Leonard's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But at the same stage, like, come on.
Hmm.
In 2006, Natasha was found guilty of causing a false police investigation. She was fined $1,000. Scott was also fined $3,000 in order to pay $16,000 towards the cost of the investigation, which, between the police investigation and emergency services, was estimated to have come in at around $400,000. Now, there was a bit of backlash over the amount that Natasha was ordered to pay. It was stated that she didn't have the means to pay, which, if she doesn't have the money, she doesn't have the money.
Hmm.
But apparently, Natasha had signed a media deal to tell her story for $120,000. A lot of people felt that it was immoral for her and Scott to profit from this, especially given the cost to the taxpayers.
Wait, after all this, is she still with Scott?
You're going to find out. Natasha's father was one of those who did not agree with the pair benefiting financially. He said, quote, "I just want to have the opportunity to clarify that I'm upset with what's happening here about this Markson." Markson was the agent handling the deal.
Right.
He said, quote, "I've never given a story for any money and I'm never going to. And I think it's atrocious." Neil, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think it's Natasha's life and she can do what she wants? Or do you feel it's inappropriate given what others were put through during her disappearance?
Yeah, I don't think she should.
No?
No.
I'm not really sure how I feel about it. You know, there's a part of me that's like, you know what, like, whatever, her story to tell. But then it kind of, it bothers me because I feel like there's people who will create these situations to profit.
Yeah.
I think regardless, the reality is people did have questions and we all want to know the details. It's going to happen.
Hmm. It's actually a good point. Yeah. People are going to be, they want to know.
Yeah, they want to know why. They want to know why it had gone on for so long. And why didn't she make contact to let her loved ones know that, you know, at least let them know that she was alive.
Yeah.
In answer to why she hadn't contacted her family, Natasha said, quote, the lie had become too big. Which I can certainly understand. I mean, Scott can fuck off. I don't know what he was at. But Natasha was still a kid, for fuck's sake. Yeah. Like, you know, what? I think a lot of people forget that.
Yeah, yeah. And then by the time she got to like 17, 18.
The lie had become too big.
Yeah.
She said that there was many times that she had wanted to call her family, but just couldn't go through with it. She couldn't get the words out. She said, quote, I was really scared of the consequences. I thought I would have been sent to prison. I would have been sent away, either to prison or a bad place. She added, quote, I do deserve severe punishment for what I've done. What do you think? Do you think Natasha should have been sent to prison for what she did?
No.
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 Do you think a more severe penalty of some sort? Or do you kind of, she was 14, and like you said, at the by the time she'd become an adult, the lie was so big that...
Yeah, no, I don't think anything should have happened to her. They should have thrown the book at Scott.
Yeah, I agree.
Several times. Yeah, the two who should have been punished the most is Scott and this eyewitness.
Yeah.
To the fucking Leonard thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're laughing. That I'm seething at people like that.
No, I do agree. Which, look, there's every chance it was someone who made a mistake. Like, eyewitnesses, so many of the time, are just fucking horrifically unreliable.
Mm.
You know? But there is the chance that it could have been someone trying to do the right thing. I personally think it's more of a busybody situation.
Yeah.
But, you know. Once Natasha and Scott had faced their charges and the dust had settled, Natasha said, quote, I feel really excited that I don't have to hide anymore. I feel free. When I disappeared, I just felt angry at everybody and everything. I didn't want to be at school. I didn't want to be at home. I didn't want to be there in that life. Now, some felt that this was a pathetic excuse for her actions, and one of these people being the mother of 9-year-old Kira Steinhardt. Quote, Natasha Ryan needs a slap across the face. How dare she put her family through that? Which, yeah, this woman lost her daughter in the most horrific, devastating of manners.
Mm.
She would have thought that Natasha, another young girl, met the same fate. So, yeah, for Natasha to just rock up seemingly unscathed, I can get why she feels that way.
Yeah.
But having said that, why is everyone holding Natasha, who was a kid, to such a high standard, and Scott, who was an adult, just seems to kind of slip through the cracks of any real backlash, or in my opinion, any adequate consequences?
Mm.
Natasha said of Scott, quote, he was protecting me and I caused him to do it. It was my fault he did that. It was my decision to run away. He was doing something really lovely and protecting me, and I feel like I should have or deserve to be punished. I tell you, I feel very uneasy about not just the words she said, but when you watch the footage of her saying these things, it seems very off to me.
Off?
Now, it could just be because she's on camera, she's more nervous and uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like they're not her words.
Right.
Possibly rehearsed.
Okay.
Quite a few times. It does not seem like natural speech to me.
Yeah.
It also, I don't know, like the completely taking the blame. You're completely taking the blame for a grown man.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you understand? Don't punish him. It was me. It was all me.
Yeah.
Well, no. She's scared. He should have known better.
Maybe she's scared of him.
No, but that's kind of my point. It's, okay. It's not right. It's not right what she's saying, because even now, after the fact, you would hope she'd at least look back and kind of go, yeah, no, I wouldn't do that to a child. But there seems to be something there controlling what she's saying, or, you know, what she's wanting to put out there.
Yeah.
That's, in my opinion, like, that's how it seemed. That's the impression I got.
Yeah.
In the aftermath, Natasha said, quote, "I'm sick of being known as Natasha Ryan, the girl in the cupboard. I made mistakes and I'm sorry that I hurt my family, but now I want to start a new life." And that's exactly what she did. In 2008, Natasha and Scott married. They were reported to have sold their wedding photos for a healthy sum of money.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. So selling the photos isn't really helping anyone's opinion of...
Yeah.
Yeah. The couple went on to have 4 children together, and Natasha entered a career in nursing, specifically in radiology. Now, at about 8 a.m., on the 2nd of June 2024, at the age of 40, Natasha was found dead at the Rockhampton golf course. Scott had reported her missing the night before her body was discovered, and her death was not thought to have occurred under suspicious circumstances.
Until it was?
No, that's the latest update I found on it. Not thought to have been suspicious.
So it's just natural causes, or?
I don't even know. I didn't see a cause of death.
Oh, so...
I find it a bit odd. I wonder, they're still investigating. Bear in mind, it's only 2 years ago. 2 years next month.
Yeah.
So...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, 40 years old.
So her parents
with
have,
4 kids.
So her parents have gone through it again?
Yeah, essentially.
Fucking hell.
In more recent years, Natasha had gone by the name of Tash Black. Her sister said that she, quote, struggled to articulate what Natasha represented to her. Quote, "You loved hard, laughed loud, and gave loyalty its definition." Others described her as a devoted mum, a fabulous nurse, and a treasured friend. Someone who made some big life choices and mistakes, but ultimately just wanted a peaceful life. Over the years, Natasha and her father had fallen out of contact, and I'm not sure if they'd ever regained a relationship or not, but Robert said at one point, quote, "She's had a baby. The only way I know she had a baby was the media told me. I don't know the baby's name. I'll never know why she did it. And that's something that every day of my life, I say, why? The day that Natasha will tell me is when she's probably leaning over my grave, or the day they're putting my coffin in, if she attends my funeral. And then she'll probably say why." Before Natasha came forward, her father also said, quote, "I don't believe that Natasha would have let me go through all this pain if she was out there." It was reported that the month previous to her discovery, Natasha had called the Help for Kids organization. She identified herself as either Sandra or Sally and told them that she knew Natasha Ryan was still alive. The call was passed on to the police but never followed up. It was only after the trial began that police received the anonymous tip-off in the form of a letter, which led to her discovery and the truth to come out. And that is the case of Natasha Ryan. Neil, anything to say?
There's more questions than answers.
Yeah.
So,
even her father saying that. Like, fucking why?
Yeah.
Why, you know?
I wonder if it was her who wrote the letter.
100%.
You think?
Has to have been.
Yeah. I don't know, you're telling me in the 5 years, I know she hid, but are you telling me in the 5 years, people went round to that house and not one person saw it? Or when she was out at night going to the beach, no one saw her?
Apparently not. It is odd. Or, you know, look, I don't know. They might, you know, sometimes you could see me go, is that? And you go, no, it's not. You know, or oh, I can't be like.
Yeah.
And then once obviously Leonard, the news with, you know, the link to Leonard, people are like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to kind of note here, although I find what Scott did absolutely repulsive, I don't want to go too hard about it. Just because he and Natasha did have kids together, and it's not their fault, but they're the ones who are going to have to deal with hearing people's opinions and feelings. And it,
yeah, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're all going to have opinions on this. I think a lot of us are going to think the same.
Mm.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I said, because there's more questions than answers. There's not a lot I can
Here's something, right? So you could think, did Natasha come forward, you know, as she got older and started to kind of realize what was going on, thought, I'm not doing this anymore. But then she goes on to marry Scott and have kids. So clearly not. Well, not clearly not. I assume not. So did Natasha come forward solely because she didn't want Leonard taking responsibility for her murder? Do you think that's probably why?
Yeah, it could be. Like, right, we're not going to sugarcoat it. We never do on this podcast. She was groomed. So I think the end, it was partly the Leonard thing, and I think it was also, it fit nicely to get back in touch with her parents and, mm-hmm. and for it to all be over.
Yeah.
But a big problem, what happens when someone gets groomed at a young age is they don't see anything wrong with it.
They're kind of stunted
and
in it.
And they stay with that person.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
Yeah.
That's what I think happened.
I do think, you know, we mentioned it earlier, I do think it's a very difficult one. Because, you know, like I said, I personally have a lot to say. I'm sure you guys all do. And it's made all the more frustrating by the fact, you know, a lot of the backlash all came onto Natasha. And I'm not saying she should be absolved of, you know, her involvement.
Yeah.
But I don't think she's the biggest issue here.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, fucking Natasha's gone now, age of 40. There's four kids there without their mother.
Yeah.
It's sad. But there you go.
So, auditor.
Mao Sugiyama.
Okay, so this is nothing to do with any mutilations or penis.
In 2012, 23-year-old artist Mao Sugiyama held a banquet in Tokyo, Japan. The event was called Ham Sibili Century Banquet. And on the menu was Mao's genitals.
For fuck's sake! Do you know what? I thought this was mouse of something.
No, Mao Sugiyama.
Right, okay.
Also, now, when I say Mao's genitals were on the menu, I don't mean that in a sexual way. I mean quite literally on the menu to consume.
He cut his knackers off and put them on the menu?
Yeah, Mao had his genitals surgically removed as he was asexual and he felt that he had no need for them. You okay?
An asexual can still want kids.
No, well, obviously Mao wasn't bothered. Or maybe he, you know, froze his sperm beforehand. I don't know.
What do you mean you don't need your genitals? They're your genitals.
I didn't need them. Lob it off.
I don't need my nipples, but I'm not going to cut them off.
I mean, you could if you wanted to. You just don't want to.
I'd look like a fucking action man.
Yeah. Now, if you were to have participated in this phallic meal, it would have set you back 20,000 yen. Only five people did partake in a bit of the old scrotum. The rest of the guests, which there was about 70 in attendance, ate beef or crocodile. Sadly for those who did go the whole hog, they felt that their dining experience was a bit flaccid.
I'd go for beef.
So you do want to attend, you just don't want to eat penis?
Bollocks.
Or bollocks.
But then again, I've never had crocodile. Crocodile could be delicious.
I always hear people say it's like chicken, but I don't know if they're just saying that. Yeah, well, just get some chicken then.
I've heard that about snail. I'm sure someone said that about snail as well. And it's like, you're just trying to get me to eat weird shit because you know I like chicken.
It's all a conspiracy against you, isn't it, Neil? It
fucking is.
Now, Mao's penis and testicles were not great. They described his penis as being bland and...
small portion.
And having a rubbery texture.
Oh, I thought you were going to say small portion. They kicked off about the portion size.
Look at you smiling the way you're proud of that one, aren't you? Not long before the banquet took place, Mao actually posts on social media, quote, please retweet. I am offering my male genitals, full penis, testes and scrotum as a meal for 100,000 yen. I will prepare and cook at the buyer's request at his chosen location. So he was just floating the idea, testing the waters back then. The plan hadn't been finalised just yet. But when he did receive some attention, he thought, fuck it, let's class it up a bit. Let's throw a banquet.
I'm going to ask you. Knob, bollocks or arsehole?
Arsehole?
Scrotum.
What?
Scrotum?
Yeah, scrotum's your bollocks.
He said three things though.
Yeah, the actual testicle and then the scrotum. Do you get what I'm saying? Your bollocks, your sex.
The ball bag.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did I think scrotum was arsehole?
I do not know.
Because I'd have gone for that because of rump.
You'd go for an arsehole.
Well, I'd go for rump.
You specifically said arsehole.
Because you said scrotum, yeah. I thought...
You thought it was more localised.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you go for out of those options?
Starve to death.
Okay.
Unless it was arse cheeks.
No, arse isn't on the menu, Neil.
Oh, yeah.
You're really looking forward to it, aren't you?
No, neither. I wouldn't go for any of them. Ask me if someone put a gun to my head.
If someone put a gun to
shoot
your head. So you mentioned, you know, what if Mao wanted to have kids? So I can't answer for that. If he ever wanted kids or not, I'll assume he didn't, but maybe he did, you know, freeze his sperm.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, his sexuality went, like I mentioned, Mao is asexual, but he didn't want to regret not having had any sexual experiences or, you know, change his mind down the line. So before he underwent the surgery, he was said to have gone on a month-long sex binge.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And after this, he was tested. He did not contract anything. But guests of the banquet did still have to sign a waiver which stated that he was not responsible should they become ill as a result of his, quote, meat.
Oh, yeah. Imagine if you ate someone's prick and then you found out they had syphilis.
The old siffy.
Yeah.
Now, unsurprisingly, some people did take issue with this event. And Mao, along with those who helped organise the event, did face charges. But as cannibalism is not illegal in Japan, he was instead charged with indecent exposure.
Because his knob were on a plate.
Yeah, but Mao argued that indecent exposure did not apply as everyone who's in attendance was aware of what was going to take place. He also made sure that the event was in line with laws regarding a ban on organ sales, processing of medical waste, and food sanitation requirements. And I believe the charges against Mao were dropped.
I actually agree with the charges. Hear me out. Yeah? So they're saying indecent exposure because you've got your tackle out on a plate.
Yeah.
And he's there saying, no, everyone knew about it. Everyone in attendance knew about it. Not quite. What if you have someone who is severely fucking dyslexic?
Yeah.
And they could only read banquet. So then they're like, ooh, banquet.
Well, it was a private event, Neil.
Yeah. You got a written invitation. Or he said he put it on social media.
Yeah.
So someone saw banquet and was like, ooh, I could go for a banquet.
No, Neil, the banquet wasn't, the ball wasn't rolling.
Yeah.
The ball wasn't rolling on the banquet back then. He was offering it up to like a buyer on Twitter at the time.
Right.
That was before he'd finalised, you know, the elegance.
Right, okay.
Of the banquet.
I think it's still valid.
But do you reckon it was held in the ballroom?
Anything else?
Nothing's come to mind just yet. You okay?
It's not... it's not out of the realm of possibility that someone was there who didn't know. Like, the first time they knew it was a knob on a plate is when they saw it was a knob on a plate.
What do you mean?
If they were dyslexic and they got a written invitation and they saw a banquet, they were like, I've got an hankering for a banquet.
But
I hope it's
private.
Hog.
It was like, it's not like you're just rocking up and going, I might pop in for a drink and a testicle. Like, do you know what I mean? On my way home from work, fuck it, go on.
Yeah. Or they might have got confused, saw a cock and thought it was a rooster. They were like, ooh, I could really go for a rooster.
Yeah.
And then they go and they've got one-eyed Jack fucking looking back at him on plate.
Yeah. So you would not attend, should you ever be invited to such an event? No.
No.
Not even out of curiosity. You're just there, you know, fly on the wall.
No, I'm not. No,
not for you. No.
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 A fly, if I was a fly,
yeah.
I'd eat a shite outside.
Not a literal fly on the wall.
I was going to say, I'd eat a shite outside.
Yeah. You know, you kind of copped on to it, because I was thinking it. I don't know what the hell's going on, but we always seem to come back to a few different topics. Number one is Richard Chase. Always comes back to Richie. Don't know what that is. We mentioned earlier, at least as of late, Australia.
Mm.
And then the other one is penises.
Well, syphilis.
Syphilis is now on the list, apparently. But yeah, Richard Chase, Australia and penises.
Yeah.
Maybe we should start putting that in the bio, like frequently discussed topics. If we say Richard Chase...
No, we want people to listen to us.
Well, hang on. If we say Richard Chase, Australia and penises enough in this segment here,
yeah,
maybe the auto-generated, you know, the chapters are going to come up Richard Chase, Australia and penises.
Yeah, maybe.
Richard Chase, Australia, penises.
Syphilis.
Syphilis. Sorry, syphilis as well.
Yeah.
Is that going to... Do you reckon that's enough? Have we done enough?
Yeah.
Here's hoping.